Hi, this is Jim Williams. On behalf of all of us here at the CLW 83 Network, we'd like to wish all of you the very best this holiday season. Happy holidays, and remember, you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Coming up next, what would it take for the internet wrestling community to explode? The answer? CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Zack Ryder all having major titles after WWE TLC. Because of this, Nikki Haman and the crew present a special emergency broadcast edition of the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. On Wednesday, it's a rebroadcast of Tuesday Night Typho with Typho and his crew. On Thursday, it's FFL Live warm-up for Week 16, where yours truly and others will preview the Texans versus the Colts. After that, it's the BS Big Show with Carl Chenier, me, myself, and I, as well as others, as we'll all go over what the heck just happened with the Packers and the Colts in Week 15 action. Plus, we'll have BS FFL Live semifinals report and gamage. And after that, VRM brings you more of that, plus NBA and NHL news, on a rebroadcast of the WrestleCrap Sports Digest. On Friday, Webmasters Corner host Tyler Brown stops by the CL Files with Carl Chenier, and they'll talk about life and find something good to riff on via YouTube. On Saturday, it's the season finale of FFL Live, as yours truly and a panel of others present the final pregame edition, where we'll preview the rest of Week 16, plus talk about Big Bucks Bowl 6 and BS Bowl 2. Then after that, Scorpion, Reptile, Katana, Jade, Melina, Sub-Zero, Rain, Noob Saibot, and other characters, all of whom I don't know, from Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 get dissected by Andrew Hirsch and Josh Henniger on the newest installment of Tales of the Old Gray and Purple Box. A special North American Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net. Tuesday Night Typho, FFL Live Warm-Up, The BS Big Show, The WrestleCrap Sports Digest, The CL Files, FFL Live Pregame, and Tales of the Old Gray and Purple Box. All this week, all times Eastern. The CLW 83 Network. Oh, oh, oh! Excuse me. Tune in.
CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Is this on? Are we here? Okay, I think we're there. Yeah, there it is. Okay, I don't know if anybody can hear us. I don't know if there's anything left, but the North American Wrestling Connection is attempting to come on the air for the sake of the internet. I don't think there's anything left of it after TLC.
What? Yeah, you sure you got the bubble gum and the paper clips? Is that done?
Hang on. I've got some. I also need to hit some duct tape on this.
Mm-hmm. Jim, anything else? You're a broadcast professional.
Well, you know, a handyman secret weapon duct tape always works in a jiffy. I've learned that over the years. Do you have are we being broadcast to the masses right now?
I think this we're not. At least we're getting. I'm hoping to get this recorded for posterity. Brian, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, guys. It's kind of crazy here. I have had to barricade myself into my room. I have a supply of Chex Mix and folding chairs to battle off anything else, but I think I'm okay.
And I'm actually getting, I think I've got a long-distance transmission. Shane?
Yeah, me.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I just wanted
yeah,
to...
Yeah, no, sorry, I've got my mate sitting with me here as well, so...
So, I just, you know, I had to come on because the internet has exploded. There's yeah. nothing left of the internet, and I think it was just because it was an attempt at a gesture by the WWE to appease the IWC and wrestling fans in general with this pay-per-view tonight.
Right. Well, there's one aspect of this whole night that still boggles me. Another horrible dictator is dead, and John Cena can't announce it to the audience because he's not there. Are you serious, bro?
Oh, wow, that's true. Holy smoke.
I got to give Jonathan Reagans at WrestleChat a little credit for that line, but it was just too good not to use.
So I'm, you know, coming in, you know, as I said, this is pretty much an emergency meeting of the North American Wrestling Connection. For anybody who did not see this pay-per-view last night, I suggest you scrape up your lunch money because the cable systems and the satellite systems might still be intact, so don't even try to find a stream in this chaos.
I mean,
get the buy rate up, damn it! Get the buy rate up! There's no Cena! Do it for the kids!
Exactly. I mean, honestly, and to get to the significance of this, if I may sort of little spoilerific here. It may I?
Oh, yeah.
Nikki?
Let me just play this before you start.
It's a watch-out moment! A watch-out, bro!
Right.
That's right.
Okay. Let's just say this, folks, okay? Zack Ryder, U.S. champion. CM Punk, WWE champion. Daniel Bryan, World Heavyweight Champion, all at the same time. Wow. I mean, wow.
Dorks rule!
No. But in all seriousness, this is about as significant as a moment in 8 years of wrestling. The last time I can remember this is when WrestleMania 20 ended with Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero holding both belts. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Does everyone agree or not? Or
I do agree. Sense to me. That does make sense. It's the powers that be listening to the people and actually giving them for a change what they want.
But all things in good time, gentlemen. I want to walk through this pay per view because there was a few other things other than, you know, I'm not belittling these three things, because I put down my hard-earned cash to watch this event.
Uh-huh.
Are you happy you did?
I did, and actually I'm disappointed that I did not buy this in high definition. But the fact that this show is just, like I said, that's why, you know, I'm surprised that we're even broadcasting. The fact that we can even... You know, that we can even get out there, that we're actually getting somewhere. I've already had an IM from what's left of my internet pop up that something's going on, so we're good. But yeah, the WWE is listening. They had to listen. They didn't have much of a choice, especially tonight. When they first introduced Zack Ryder, the place was going bonkers for him. They were drowning out Michael Cole.
Damn.
We're already off to a good start.
Yes.
And Zach and Ziggler put on an excellent, excellent match. And even with Vicky Guerrero out there for about half of it, she unfortunately got caught putting Ziggler's foot on the rope, to which the referee did not have a choice but to send her to the back. Which, of course, she wasn't happy about, but who's happy about getting kicked out from ringside?
You would never know anything about that, no.
No, well, someone would, but...
In the immortal words of Stuart Hall, she had to get taken early by.
So, with her out of the picture, Ziggler didn't have any backup. And my wild card didn't get played. Cena didn't show up. In fact, he wasn't there all night. So Zack Ryder not only wins the U.S. title, but he wins it clean.
Which, huge.
Mm-hmm.
And to celebrate, not only did he have the adoration of everybody in that arena, but his dad and Big O were ringside to accept a gracious hug from him.
Yes.
And we, the viewing audience, were treated to exactly 1 minute of Michael Cole saying absolutely nothing.
That's a win.
Silence is golden.
Oh, you agree. I agree. Where is that button? Here it is.
Well, wait a minute. This begs the question. There was Big O. There was Zach's dad. Where's Chiappetta in all this?
He's house sitting at the moment, I believe.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that. Yeah, sure.
Well, can I just say this? When Zack Ryder won the U.S. title, I can guarantee you right now, all the Australian broskies were going absolutely nuts. I mean, friggin' Kmart stores and everything were going nuts. Friggin' people were rioting, man. It was unbelievable over here.
All right, but you're okay, though, right?
Oh, I was good. I was like...
Oh, I right in the middle of it. Come on.
I had to try and contain myself because I was like, finally, WWE did something right. But I contained myself, so it was all good. Okay, I admit it. I smashed a few windows here and there, but...
That's right.
Attaboy. Did you get anything good?
Well, I wouldn't say... Oh, well, I wouldn't say anything good. I mean, I tried to find a Michael Cole t-shirt and burn it, but unfortunately, he's not big enough a star for them to actually bring it out, so...
Mm-hmm.
He can whine and bitch and complain all he wants to, but anyways...
Hey, quick disclaimer, the CLW83 network does not endorse looting in any way, shape, or form. CLW83 cares.
Now, can I ask you one thing? Did you remember to get me a Kylie Minogue CD?
Oh,
No, but actually, I did talk to Kylie, and she said, stop calling her phone, you sniper.
Send it to you on a boomerang.
I think we're going to get along just fine.
Now then, what WWE decided also was that they looked at their card and said, you know what, this needs more title matches.
It does.
They added two title matches over the course of the show, which included Air Boom retaining over the new Barriquas, Primo and Epico.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can we just call them what they really are? And this is with all due respect to the late, great Eddie Guerrero.
Okay.
But they're the new Los Guerreros. Come on.
We could call them Los Colones 2.0 if you want.
Like, let's
Los Colones.
Vince McMahon needed a Mexican, type. Friggin' tag team stable, so he got Primo and Epico.
Now, I'd like to know about their mic skills, and let's see if they can actually size up. I'd like to hear them on the mic. And of course, you know, on top of the fact that these guys did put on a very good match, there was also a handful of fan service since Rosa Mendez was out there.
Shucky ducky, quack, quack.
I don't have the salt. I didn't have salsa, so
that works.
Now I think the only now I'm not even call this a downer, but I will say this is probably one of the points that I did lose was because of the tables match. But Barrett and Orton did an excellent job of teasing table spots all through their match. Now, somebody in this group actually picked Orton. Who picked Orton?
I believe... Not me.
Not me.
I could have sworn you did, Jim.
Someone did.
I did.
I'm pretty sure I picked Webbara.
Okay. You picked him, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, you're right, because of this. Where's that button?
Super!
Super Orton, wait a minute. Is that Super Cena's sidekick, or is this a new comic book?
It's a spinoff.
Same as the first. Yeah, you know, similar refrain.
It's kind of like, I don't know. It feels more like a storyline rehash.
Yeah, and the book's different. It has a menthol-y flavor, and it has tattoos, like temporary tattoos you can put on your arms.
So. And to be, you know, I know they were trying to go for an awesome finish, but they've already done this too many times with Orton finishing a match on an air RKO.
And technically, let me beg a question here. In the past, with table matches, they deem defensive moves through a table as not counting. Could you make a case that that shouldn't have counted because of that? Just a thought.
But the RKO is considered offensive in more ways than one.
It is, but it looked like he broke the table before the actual RKO grip, if you want me to be a little... In the butt, but, you know.
I'll tell you, well, through the night, they were playing fairly fast and loose with the rules, which I'm going to get to. I am going to definitely get to. Including a few things that probably would have gotten the FCC face-palming, such as Santa Teddy.
Holla, holla.
You're not going to see this in too many recaps, because Teddy Long was running around dressed as Santa Claus. Was trying to, his part of his shtick was trying to get Hornswoggle to dress up as an elf, and Hornswoggle wasn't digging that. Teddy,
not anymore.
Well, and Teddy decided that he was gonna, you know, he was gonna help Hornswoggle out because he was like, you know, you realize you can't rap, kiddo. And gives Swoggle for Christmas a Rosetta Stone basic book in Ebonics.
Ooh.
The NAACP on line two.
If it's Sharpton, hang up.
Well, yeah, if it's Jackson, still hang up.
Please. So, needless to say, I think Hornswoggle was just as offended as the rest of us, so he kicked Teddy and took off, and Teddy made a comment about kicking Swoggle back in his Christmas ornaments.
Wait a minute, I just thought, if the FCC were to go after the WWE, would Otunga be the lawyer in this case?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
well,
I hope so. I would actually want to watch that trial.
Mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, they should at least try to get Clarence Mason on retainer.
Put it on C-SPAN 3, I'd watch it, yeah.
So, let's see. Ah, yes, the second of the bonus matches was a Divas title match. They claimed it was actually booked because of what happened at the Slammies this past Monday with Beth Phoenix interrupting Kelly's speech.
Quote-unquote, air quotes.
So Beth Phoenix proved to us that she should have won that Slammy and slammed Kelly every which way but loose. I was quite happy for this.
And note that Miss Beth Phoenix did get quite the pop after she won the match too. So,
well, of course, yeah. I'm sure they could have even heard me.
It's a markout moment. A markout, bro.
I was quite happy and with the fact that Beth Phoenix retained.
Because that match almost looked like it was going to go Kelly's way, and I'm like, oh no, not this road again. No.
Oh, come on, man. Let's be honest here. I mean, if that match was to show up on a card, I would have picked Beth Phoenix, because it'd just be stupid to put the title back on Kelly. I'm sorry.
Well, agreed. Yeah, all she is TNA, literally. Oh, wait a minute. Shouldn't use
not
that.
Not that.
No.
No,
that's
it's
another
just...
promotion.
All she is Impact Wrestling? What?
Yeah, well...
Well, let me put it another way. This match was also another point towards the IWC, because we tend to root for women wrestlers.
Some of us do have standards.
Yes, we do.
Oh,
yes, we do, Rarity.
If you had 16 minutes in the pool for when you'd hear your first pony, congratulations, collect your paycheck. There you go.
Well, at least, you know, if the apocalypse is indeed upon us, maybe we will end this with peace, love, and ponies, but not
friendship
my call.
Is magic.
Not my call. Speaking of friendships or lack thereof, one of the longer matches of the night, and unfortunately one of the slower matches, but to be expected, was going to be the sledgehammer on a pole. I mean, the sledgehammer ladder match, I believe is how they announced it.
Yes.
Oh, Scott.
And you said it was, you know, it was meh.
Well, it was meh. They started strong. I'm going to give them that. They actually had the flurry of offense, because if you know how the IWC books a Kevin Nash match, they've actually turned it into a drinking game.
Yeah, pretty much.
When Kevin Nash does a move, start reciting the alphabet. If you get to Z before he gets to his next move, no, if you can't get to Z before he gets to his next move, you have to take a drink. Because, and it happened in this match, there were a few points where he went several minutes without landing an offensive move. He was.
What's the rule if he breaks his knee? Or blows a knee, I should say.
You pour one out.
Drink.
Really? I thought you poured one out because the match was over.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I think as a dig to the IWC, Hunter made sure that once he got his hands... No, actually, I'm sorry. He did this. He beat up Nash with the ladder, too. The ladder went into both of Nash's knees at some point. And once Sweet Lady Sledge was removed from her suspended animation...
Your sister Sledge, is she right?
Yes, the scepter of the... The scepter of the King of Kings never touched Kevin Nash's hands through the course of the match.
Mm-hmm.
The ending, they decided at least to make it reasonably symbolic and that one little piece of story. As the evil Dr. Levescu towered over his opponent, who was down on his knees, unable to stand due to all the damage, he weakly looks up, he raises one hand, and forms a symbol. The symbol of the wolf pack. To which...
Or the click, either one.
Either one. To which Hunter looked down and screamed, Fusrada! Oh, wait. Sorry. Not true. Hunter looked down at that, raised one arm with the sledgehammer, raised the other arm, promptly gave Kevin Nash a DX chop and a sledge to the head. And that is that.
On this night, Sledgehammer was best pony.
Yes. Sledgehammer took care of business. Kevin Nash was stretchered. Hopefully this is done for now. And Hunter can go after other targets like, I don't know.
Bong.
Shh, not yet.
Somebody, yeah, exactly.
Don't talk about that yet, for goodness sakes.
All right, fine.
Don't bring us down now.
All right, fine. Okay. All right, go on. Sorry.
Okay.
Who the hell do you think you are, Block? Come on.
And actually,
there is one match you missed.
What did I skip something?
You skipped the Intercontinental title match, Booker T and Cody Rhodes,
See, I was just getting to that, because actually Brian had the best line about this during the pay-per-view. He called it a running gag, and it pretty much was. Early in the show, Booker T was coming down for his match. Oh, wait, no, I'll even go further back than that. Booker T was talking to Alicia Fox backstage about his match, and Cody Rhodes jumps him. So they take him to the infirmary. They clear him. He goes out there to have the match. Second time, he's halfway down the ramp. Cody jumps him again. They drag Booker back to the infirmary. He's interviewed later on in the show, and he says, no, we're going to make this happen. You know, I'm sick of, you know, I'm not going out like no sucker. I didn't ask for this fight. A lot of people didn't ask for this fight, Booker, but I was actually kind of happy to see him in the ring.
Got a spin of Rooney out of it.
We did.
How do you do?
I thought he has lost a step. I will give it that. But he was, you know, he was the more dynamic of Harlem Heat, from what I had seen of him in the late '90s, even after Hulk broke up. he wasn't going to do anything crazy acrobatic. I mean, we weren't going to get the Harlem Hangover. We weren't going to, you know, we did get an attempt at an axe kick. We did get a, you know, we got a few good moves out of him. And it actually was closer, it was much closer battle than what a few people might have thought it was going to be. I honestly did not think this was going to be toe-to-toe. I honestly thought this was either going to be a squash by Cody, or given the way that we're building it up, no match at all. Especially when the fact that they had added those two title matches and a third, since Teddy Long didn't want to fight breaking out in front of him at his little Christmas shindig.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, you know, wow, we keep adding matches. I was worried that this. I honestly did not think this match was going to happen. But we got a match out of it. We got a good match out of it. Cody retained, but not on the crossroads. I don't know if this was a limitation on Booker T or if they were just, you know, they were just doing something to eliminate any sort of movie ending, which seemed to be the theme of the promos from SmackDown. Excuse me. So, but let me throw this out there. Had Booker T won, would you guys have anticipated a dusty finish out of this, or do you think they would have just done an instant rematch? Or
I don't know.
I would think they would have done an instant rematch probably Friday night, if not sooner, if not Monday. Because I couldn't see them legitimately keeping the belt on Booker long term anyway. You know, this was the best finish ultimately for the match. You know, but, you know, everybody got to see, got their point across, and we move on. And Booker T gives us four gems at the table from here on out.
Yeah, I see where you're.
Well, there go the Red Bull.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I'm a bit different with it because, like, when we all heard the rumors about it, it's like, oh, Booker T's probably gonna have one last run, it's going to be against Cody Rhodes and stuff like that. I thought, okay, well, maybe this might be good. But then you saw the shit work up for it. Then you got the match at TLC, and if he got the title on him, I would have been like, oh, okay, fuck me, that's a bit of a surprise. But, and if I was the Booker, I would have held it on Booker till next pay-per-view and taken it off him then and said, all right, you've had your last run. But, yeah, that's just my opinion.
Well, you know what? I mean, either way, the result was not bad to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have some new information.
Ooh.
And that's going to lead us right into the second big moment of the night. And if I skip something, well, I might be partially skipping something, but I will come back to it. And I will be. What I'm talking about is the chairs match.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given the participants, this was anticipated to be the second most plotting match on the card, next to, unfortunately, Kevin Nash and Triple H. In fact, at one point, Mark Henry did attempt to leave. Give me my belt. This ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
To which Big Show decided to take Mr. Henniger's advice.
And?
Brian, that's your freaking cue!
Hit him with the folding chair! Hit him again!
Over and over and over and over again. It was quite nice.
He got some work out of that chair, man. I mean, let me tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but the match itself, for those of you who saw it, the match just kind of stopped.
I gotta say, in recent memory, that may have been one of the worst title matches I've seen in recent memory, world heavyweight title matches. I mean, yes, considering what we've seen these two do in the ring in the past, it's tough to up the ante, but good God, that was kind of just, like, tough, borderline, boring to watch.
Oh, come on. Let's be honest here. I wanted to see Big Show go up for a frog splash. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to see it, but...
Well, no, I mean, yeah, they set themselves up where it's tough for them to top what they did in the past, so you already had lowered expectations, and, well, Sai's got the best of them. What can you say?
Well, it's not, apparently it is not only size, and I've just gotten this information in. This I was unaware, and we did not report this on Friday.
Okay.
Mark Henry's hurt, and it's not just his ankle, and not just his worked ankle.
Oh.
Apparently, he suffered a groin pull Monday night during his match with John Cena.
Oh, well. Really? Where, if I may ask, where's the source?
Let me ask my source what his source is.
Ah, yes.
But according to what I'm being told here is that the groin pull is more serious than originally thought. So
this was a hotshot title switch.
So not only was it a hotshot, not just one hotshot title switch, two.
But dos.
The fact that Big Show punched Mark Henry's lights out. Let's see. Here we go. That source for you, Jason. WrestlingNewsSource.com. I will. Let me. It looks like some of the internet's still standing. So let me see if I can get this to you.
Okay. Sure.
Here you go.
Thank
Show
you.
punches Mark Henry's lights out. It looked completely out of nowhere.
A WMD into a chair, into his skull, pretty much, yeah.
Right. And Big Show pins him. Now, the crowd, of course, is stunned and confused. Big Show gets up to celebrate. Mark Henry's not as knocked out as we thought. He grabs a chair and starts... And, what was it? He crippled Big Show, got Big Show in the knees a couple of times, and then DDTs him on a chair. Out of sheer frustration.
he decided to hit him about the head and shoulders.
Yes.
With great force and much vengeance.
To use a phrase from the illustrious Sean Baby, he hit him so hard he was trying to make dinosaurs extinct again.
Oh, yeah.
That's rather descriptive. I like that. But after Mark Henry had taken his leave and Big Show was left laying, we heard music. And somewhere I heard Matt Stryker.
Please do it! Please!
Oh, please,
that wouldn't have happened. This would really happen. Michael Cole, not this way! Not this way!
Yes.
Or to use my favorite bit of the lyrics written by CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Daniel Bryan.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, that is about how I felt when he was coming down the ramp. So, to you, whoops, wrong button. Stop that, go away. This button. I'm going to get that damn fire thing off of here at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan not only comes down, hands his briefcase to Scott Armstrong, but somehow convinces him to ring the bell despite the fact that his opponent is unconscious. This was a plot point previously with Miz.
No, but this was also a plot point when Mark Henry was not medically cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
I believe
yeah.
so.
More or less.
They've done that twice now. They've got Daniel Bryan coming out, cashing in Money in the Bank with a downed opponent, and beating them. So, I don't know, does anyone else think that makes, they're trying to make Daniel Bryan look weak? Or is it just me?
Yes and no.
Now, here's the thing. I read too much into everything. That's my biggest flaw. But
I think that maybe this could be an interesting plot point because, you know, Mark Henry, he tried to pull the same thing on Mark Henry. My belief is that Mark Henry threatened Teddy Long with grievous bodily injury if he allowed it to stand. And so maybe Teddy Long didn't reverse this because he figures, well, I know the Big Show don't hate me as much as Mark Henry does, so go ahead.
Well, how about this, though? The question is that are they going to keep it on Daniel Bryan for, is it going to be like a two-day, you know, Christian hot shot, or is it going to be at least until the Royal Rumble? What do you think?
I think at least through the Rumble. I'm gonna say benefit of the doubt here. I have to give him a chance.
I want him to have the opportunity. I am just kind of worried that, like I said, the way that they're playing fast and rules loose with these rules is that we're gonna end up with a Christian hotshot. But if they rule the way that they have ruled previously in situations like this, Daniel Bryan gets the briefcase back.
Right.
But for now, I'm just going to enjoy the fact that Daniel Bryan pinned the Big Show and is currently, and for now, our world heavyweight champion.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
No. Here's the thing. The mark-out moment wasn't so much that he won the title, which is big enough and great enough itself. But within 30 seconds of winning the title, what does he do? He races right on down to the announce table, just puts it in Cole's face. It was priceless.
Beautifully done.
Yes.
I just say, take a suck of this!
It's a great big take that, Michael Cole.
That's the clean version of that.
And here's the other aspect. That's why I'm thinking maybe they don't make this a hot shot, because that you've got a built-in storyline right there with Cole being so anti-disestablishmentarianism, or rather, Brian
yes.
being anti-disestablishmentarianism.
You people are fools!
Hey, thank you. He
exactly.
should not be mentioned, who has been mentioned too much in this show. No, but, I mean, there's that built-in, you know, storyline that's gone back since, what, a year or 2 years ago with NXT that people can feed off of and still kind of dig. The fact that Cole hates the you know what out of Bryan and Bryan wants to kick his head in.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, Shane. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but then a little bit happens, like, okay, fair enough. Like, you had a great moment there with Daniel Bryan sticking it to Michael Cole saying, yeah, look at this, I've got the world title now and everything else. Then look what happened after the Intercontinental title match. Then Michael Cole, of course, has to get the last word in and be like, well, Daniel Bryan's going to have a short title reign. Why would you fuck up a good moment like that?
Because he's Michael Cole.
Oh,
and
man,
by God,
yeah.
We're actually saying his name. Now I know there's something wrong.
Well, no. But in a sense, we okay. In this particular sense, we should mention him because he is part of the story. I'm sorry.
Right.
If I may make a semi-executive conclusion here.
No. And actually, I'll make a second point. The fact that he had more or less behaved himself otherwise. He really
has. He's pretty neutral the rest of the night, most of the other portions of the night.
Hey guys, hey guys, I'll be right back. There's some type threes outside my window wanting me to comment on their pro wrestling reviews. I gotta fight them off. I'll be right back.
Oh,
understood.
Okay.
So,
I mean, but the fact is that I would love to not be at a hot shot, and you know what? It may not be. I mean, like I said, I hope it isn't, because this is going to, remove, what's the one I'm looking for? This is going to...
Justify?
Yes, justify, thank you. It's going to justify the whole IWC, you know?
Mm-hmm. And to Cole's credit, and I can't believe I'm saying this, mm-hmm. Cole's protest for the rest of the show regarding Daniel Bryan, otherwise we're actually kind of half-hearted, compared to what we usually get out of him.
Well, keep in mind, how many times have we seen somebody cash in Money in the Bank in such a fashion? Almost every time. So,
almost.
You know, you see it, you understand it. You would, if you were in the same situation, and he said it himself on commentary enough times before, King, if you had Money in the Bank and you had were in the same situation, you know you'd do the same thing.
But see, but that's another plot point. The fact that Brian said he wasn't going to do that and he was going to cash in at WrestleMania, which is one of the few things that Cole has gotten right, but Cole, you know, still gets it kind of wrong by saying that he's a hypocrite. But to your point, you know, if you had Money in the Bank and you had this situation in front of you, you'd cash it in. Brian kept saying no, but the temptation was there.
If I had Money in the Bank, I'd put it all in gold so I could make, like, a gajillion more. Oh, you don't mean that. I understand. Okay.
So let's see.
Price of gold is going up, but I'm just saying.
I have a missive coming in here. It appears Statboy's internet is operating in Toledo. Who is our current reigning Pick'ems champion?
Not me.
Like I said, I think I'm one of them, but because I remember, I think it was a three-way tie, wasn't it? It was me.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had a share of it. I know that, but I mean, not anymore. After tonight, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, Jim, Shane, and someone.
Someone whose name is not worthy of being mentioned over the internet. No, I'm kidding.
No, just I can't remember either.
Hey,
details, details.
Tyler. Well from Tyler.
Oops. As I'm horribly corrected because apparently Statboy can hear us. I'm not in Toledo, you idiot. I'm in Greenville.
Toledo, Greenville, it's all the same.
It's all, we just know you're out there. Oh. Actually, Shane, it's a good thing you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Statboy hasn't sent me, has probably put the numbers into my Facebook, and I'll have to see if that's up and running yet.
It's on your Facebook page?
Well, it'll be in my Facebook messages if it's there.
Because I'm pretty... Like, I know with this pay-per-view now, I've pretty much got every single match right, bar Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett. I was like, oh.
Well, how about this then? Shane, you are a tiebreaker. Because there's another three-way scramble for the Fizzleweight Champion between yourself, Tyler, and Statboy.
Hey guys, I'm back.
All right.
Everything okay? The building still standing?
Yeah. Basically, it was a bunch of guys who were on a bunch of message boards who were wanting someone to compliment them, but they got every Japanese wrestler's name spelled correctly. So I just told them yes.
Yeah.
They went on.
I hope you at least pegged one of them on capitalization because nobody gets Kenta right. Oh,
hope somebody gets Roddy Sing to like box their life together.
Well,
anyway.
Well, no, that was the easy part. Then I happened to mention that I thought Megumi Kudo was cute. I had to dent four chairs, man.
You were just stirring the pot. No wonder it took you so long.
Okay. But Daniel Bryan's hot shot to have the title is just so awesomely cool, though. Even if it is a hot shot, it's great.
No, it's, you know, there's going to be I guarantee you there's a number three out there going, but he was supposed to catch it in WrestleMania.
No, the typos are saying, why didn't he win the belt his first night?
Give me a second here. I'm going to pull up the Pick'ems real quick because, granted, we've only got two more matches. But yes, just for the record here, Actually, it's a pretty tangled up mess because we have people with 4 points and people with 5 points and people who just didn't vote.
Oh, great.
So this is just a great big ugly dog pile.
There's one word that can probably describe it better than what you're saying.
Cluster?
Poopy, actually, was close to pick it up, but okay.
It's one great big giant shit fest. But anyways.
That works too. That works too. Yeah.
And in case nobody, and in case somebody didn't hear that,
poopy.
Which is not what the pay-per-view was, by the way.
By no means. By no
that
means.
True.
As I said, they teased us a bit with the Intercontinental title match. They were very nice and gave us two other title matches, plus the added bonus of beating the daylights out of Jack Swagger. Which is entertaining in its own right.
Almost makes you yearn for the Swagger Soaring Eagle to get back out there just so it can get beat up too, but eh.
Eh. That's all right. They made up for it with the main event.
Oh, yes.
This was fun.
The TLC main was very, very well built. They had put together some very painful spots. And despite Del Rio and Miz claiming that they were not going to be friends or even partners in crime in the sole purpose of getting rid of CM Punk, both of them took advantage of the fact that I believe Del Rio had given Rodriguez, or Rodriguez brought his own, a set of handcuffs in order to incapacitate Punk.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. Mexicans are crafty.
Well, this was actually pretty clever. The problem is that the cuffs themselves were not big enough to fasten Punk to anything else on the ladder but the struts, which is pretty much the weakest part of the ladder.
Especially if you've seen WWE-made ladders, my friend.
After seeing stuff such as the Kofi ladder stilts shtick, Degeneration X with the busted up ladder point on the tag titles.
My all time personal favorite, Kofi Kingston using the ladders as a pair of, using a broken ladder as a pair of.
Like I said, stilts. That was at a WrestleMania.
I love the Kapaimi or whatever the name is, the chibi art of that. That's just brilliant.
Boing, 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 boing.
Indeed.
I wanted a looping GIF of that, and I could never get one made. We had that. Punk practically killed himself doing a suicide dive onto Del Rio, who was holding a ladder at the time. Rodriguez almost got killed when he got thrown off a ladder because he decided to go get the belt for his boss.
Not a good night for Ricardo. He seemingly couldn't do much right that night tonight.
No.
Didn't he need a table too?
Well, see, yeah, when he was on the super stunt ladder, reaching for the belt, when Punk and Miz tipped the ladder towards the camera side of the floor, where Rodriguez was supposed to go through two tables.
He only hit the furthest one.
Yeah,
he hit
the outside table over by the guardrail. Complete. He did not touch the other table, and they had somebody over there real quick to check on him. I was also concerned about Del Rio for him taking the top rope crack spot off the ladder. He hit it, he tumbled to the floor, they had people on him real quick, and then the cameras were off him for a couple of minutes. They stayed focused on Punk and Miz for a little bit while they were checking on Del Rio. The cuffs come back into play late in the match, when Miz decides to chain Punk to the crossbar behind the turnbuckle. the one metal piece that connects the turnbuckles and the ropes to the ring posts.
Mm-hmm.
And the look of panic on his face is very good. And Miz just standing right out of range with this great big smug smile on his face. Go ahead. You can't do nothing to me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Whiff. Somebody else apparently has looters near in their area. Who's that?
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we should send Punk over there.
I wouldn't exactly call it looters. I'd call it okay, in all honesty, I'd just call it my father playing the Wii and fucking losing at golf. But anyways. Moving on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right, nice, beautiful.
Moving right along. Let's get back to the main event, shall we?
So, yes, like I said, Punk actually, you know, put at a disadvantage by Miz, and Miz being the smug git that he was going to stand there and just go, really? Really? Really?
And then he really got it.
Followed by a boot to the head.
Eventually.
The fact that Punk actually undid the middle, had to undo that part of the ring to get the middle rope undone just to get the cuffs, you know, get himself untangled and off the cuffs and back over to the ladders.
Somewhere a ring crew union is protesting this match. This is a violation of our union ethics. Come on.
No. See, this is what he did. He put his indie ring work use.
Okay.
There you go.
This is for paying my dues. I get to take this ring apart early. They should be happy for that. I get extra pay for it, don't I? Is this double pay?
I got you covered. It's all good.
Do I get to wear the jacket, too?
Awesome, yes.
But I'm wearing stripes.
Yes. And by the way, have you noticed, and maybe I'll segue into this in a second, how Ring of Honor has been using this win, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes, we will, because that was indeed a wonderful win. The fact that we had the guys up, we had all three guys at the top of the ladder crawling over the belt. Del Rio's taken out quickly. Miz and Punk end up toe-to-toe at the base of the ladders. Punk puts Miz to sleep. And then pleases the entire Baltimore crowd, who already told us how much they liked him when he pulled the belt down. This is how much the Baltimore crowd was behind CM Punk. You could hear the chant over living color. The music was playing, and you could still hear the chant. That
wow.
Reference is loud.
That was clutch in deceit, with apologies to Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, but let's be honest here. CM Punk's been putting butts in the seats now for fucking months.
But that's true. Absolutely he has been.
Look, I'm telling you this. and again, not to ruin, you know, my choice, but because it's obvious, because CM Punk has been the story, the magnet, everything that having to do with wrestling in 2011 for the most part. He is right now on an Austin-like rocket that is just been starting to fire. 2012 is going to be an even bigger year for Mr. Phil Brooks, as long as he stays healthy.
And even then, if he's not healthy, he will find some. They'll put him at the commentary table. They will hand him a notebook and let him sit in a writing meeting. They'll let him play in the truck. You know, they'll give him some. They will give him something to do.
You love meatloaf. You eat the meatloaf. You love the meatloaf. You get the Meatloaf, you get the Meatloaf that's punk, you love the punk, you can't go wrong. Yeah.
Just the fact that they chanted for him through better than half the match, and the one time they weren't chanting for him, they were chanting for the ice cream bars.
Okay, memo to WWE. You've made your arrangement with Post Cereals and John Cena. Get the fucking ice cream bars done. Seriously.
Seriously, if you have to call Ben and Jerry's, if you have to call Edie's, if you have to call Breyer's, you know, if Good Humor doesn't want to do it anymore, how many more ice cream companies are there?
Blue Bunny.
I forgot. I knew I was forgetting somebody.
Blue Bunny actually makes the ice cream bars for Walt Disney. I mean, so, heck, I'm sure they'd like to have another big money contract.
Hey, PG, come on.
If you're going to give John Cena fucking the reunion movie, okay? Not even out yet, but doesn't even look that good from the trailer. Give CM Punk his fucking ice cream bars, for goodness sakes, please.
Shane, better question. Name one good WWE film. Thank you.
No, excuse me.
Okay, all right.
No Evil, number one.
Me and you, I'll have a conversation with you about that after this show, okay?
Okay, no, I'm only joking.
So, just
Sorry,
to re-
kick my ass. Yes.
So, with the fact that CM Punk pulled down the WWE title, the demolition of the internet was complete.
Triple threat.
The fact that the show even ended about 10 minutes early, despite all of this action, I can't complain.
Anybody who does complain ultimately is really just, yeah,
reaching
straws.
I'm sorry, I have to agree. If you watch this pay-per-view and you weren't entertained, then you just ask for way too much.
Yeah, basically your name is Spoony, but that's not important right now.
No, but again, let's go back to the way we started this. And Nikki, I want to ask you this question.
All right.
No one thought at the beginning of 2011 that we would end the year with Zack Ryder, CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan holding all the major titles. And Cody Rhodes, let's add him to the picture too.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what does this mean to you as a wrestling fan?
It means to me one of two things. Either WWE is listening to us, or this is all part of that change that CM Punk has been touting since before Money in the Bank. He said it himself. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's not something that's going to happen next week. But I'll be damned, we're going in the right direction for once. Are we not?
Well, I mean, what it comes down to is new people have to be given the brass ring, per se. Not to go back to a Z True Long Island Story reference, per se. But you've got to build new upper echelon stars. And Punk has become one. And he should have been one long ago. You know, Zack Ryder's a good mid-level guy now. I mean, having that belt asserts him that power. And plus, losing that title, the U.S. title, means Dolph Ziggler could be in play for something bigger. That's another aspect of this whole thing. So it was a win-win match altogether. Fans like me got to see Ryder do his thing and get rewarded finally for a year of busting his ass on his own, while Ziggler gets rewarded looking back and maybe he gets into the World Heavyweight title chase or something along those lines in the coming months.
Go ahead, Shane.
Well, it's like, I'm not going to take away from Ryder or anything else, but according to wrestling sources and stuff like that, apparently Vince McMahon, that's right, Vince McMahon,
that's
the, the, The same guy who is has always been about the bodybuilding types and stuff like that. Apparently he's starting to change his mind a little now, and he's actually appreciating guys that come up with their own ideas. Hence the reason Ted DiBiase is now getting a push, and now Zack Ryder is your U.S. champion. So,
I don't understand the whole Ted DiBiase. What is he? Is he the rich frat boy now? Because he's partying it up. That's the story they're telling. You know, he's
telling
the rich frat boy who hangs out before the show with parties. Is you know like
no. He's the rich guy who's willing to hang out with the common rabble.
Right.
Which was the point of his mini feud with Jinder Mahal, because Jinder Mahal is supposedly some rich royalty from India that we've never heard of. So,
okay, I haven't watched enough SmackDown to I'm a silly moose, fine erudite would say.
But now adding these five guys into the mix because Ted DiBiase could have a year in 2012. We don't know, but Daniel Bryan, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Zack Ryder, and then when you add potentially the return of Chris Jericho into the mix, 2012 is going to look like one of the best potential years for WWE in a long time.
Say it with me all together now. Watch and see how they F it up.
Oh,
hey!
Hi! Jason, you're absolutely right. You really are.
Ninja, please. Hell no.
Why are you trying? I mean, look, we all understand that, with the whole idea of that. But I do, we all have that grain of salt, but for now, let's just enjoy it.
I'm with you.
Can I just say my favorite moment of the whole night real quick?
Was?
On Twitter. CM Punk posted up a picture of him and D-Bry holding the belt, and the only thing he put was that two indie schmucks didn't do too bad, huh?
Exactly. And this should be every avatar on every freaking wrestling message board in existence right now. If not an ad, somebody's signature.
We've got a minute left to archives, guys.
So, gentlemen, we've seen some history tonight.
We have.
Yep.
And we've seen the IWC explode over it. Hopefully the internet will be back up.
And yes, again, our next regular scheduled broadcast will be Friday, December 30th, I believe.
The Nikki Awards!
Nikki Awards, a two-hour show, right?
Yep, to that effect. So hopefully we'll be able to broadcast. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey, Nikki, as always.
Night.
Good night, all, and Comcast.
We're in our
guys. I do not, Comcast, I do not envy you in the morning. Oh, boy.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in on short notice like this.
Yeah, no problem.
That's always fun.
This was just, this was pretty much out of nowhere, and the fact that I was going to be on the road this Friday, and I'm like, I cannot justify not talking about this sooner. This had to be done sooner.
All right. Now, who was I arguing? Well, not arguing, but who was I having a discussion
about? Hi,
how
you doing?
I see where you're coming from, like with all the WWE films. If I had to pick one, good WWE film, based on just acting ability alone, I would say it was Triple H's one and only movie that he's done so far.
The Chaperone.
Yeah, well, he did all right with it, which was
okay.
It was better than John Cena's Marine, because that was just bland.
Thank you. And 12 rounds, which is nothing more than a Marine retread.
Yep, and no offense to Ted DiBiase doing the Marine too, but I didn't really see any point with it.
In the words of the Iron Sheik, bah,
And, now, I can't, and you can't count the Scorpion King, because the Scorpion King was done before WWE Studios
right.
came
that was,
to effect.
That was more like the equivalent of a leased market agreement in media terms.
Let's see. No comments here about See No Evil?
I didn't see it, so...
Okay,
I mean,
as far as the good, like, as far as the horror thing goes, yeah, Kane played his part well.
What I'm getting at is that... The only WWE films I've seen are the Cena ones, but that's only just to rail on them and laugh my ass off at how bad they are. In other words, Mystery Science Theater 3000 material.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember some of the jokes that I saw about the Marine. I actually spent money on this movie.
oh, God.
But for the longest time, somebody had a signature on the message board that I was on at the time. So let me get this straight. John Cena no sells at exploding gas station.
That's the best.
But yeah,
and the car comes out perfectly
fine.
Sorry,
that's the one I'll go for with a good WWE film. Not a great one.
I respect your opinion. I don't want to piss off a country and a continent at the same time. I would never want to do that, especially where I'm an Australian rules football fan. So,
and I'm sitting here reliving the cash in. Don't mind me.
That's okay. That's fine.
You can't go off that, because that was before WWE Films was done in effect.
Right.
Fair enough, if you're going off, like, old ones, then yeah.
Okay, alright, fair enough.
No, sorry, I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to my mate who's sitting next to me.
I understand, I'm sorry. What it comes down to also is, the whole purpose of the films is it's a license to print free money, or as I prefer to call it, a tax write-off for the E. That's all it is to me, is all it comes off as, so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Oh, I'm glad I survived this without getting a boomerang upside my head, so I'm proud of myself. Yeah.
Tisk.
Good deal. It's Tisk, indeed. All right, I think we're done here.
Yeah, I think we are. Gentlemen, I do really appreciate you guys jumping in on short notice that we had to talk about this, and I apologize if I monopolized a lot of the show.
No. It's fine. It was fine. It was a good program, and we will try to hype this on WrestleChat for future re-airs.
Absolutely.
I will annoy Brett to death on this. Yes.
Please do.
All right, guys, I will catch you guys next show.
Yep, mm-hmm. And we'll see everybody on the 30th.
Indeed. Yes. Happy holidays, everybody. Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadanica.
Yeah, them too.
What the fuck?
I said Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadanica.
All right. I'm just going to say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and all the rest of that to everybody else.
All right, gentlemen. You guys have a good night.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.